It is courageous of the women to go to the tomb, hoping to care for their dead friend's body. This is a bold move. It is risky because they are women, traveling alone as light is barely beginning to come back into the sky. It is vulnerable because it will be painful to draw near with their hearts still so raw. And it's downright dangerous because everyone powerful is after them as followers of Jesus. Still, they come. And they continue in this vein. It is courageous for them to listen to these strange and shining messengers who are turning everything upside down as they proclaim that their beloved teacher is not dead, but has risen. It is courageous of the women to hope that this might be true. Courageous of them to go and share this news with the rest of the disciples, who will surely think they are being ridiculous. And, of course, they do think the women are being ridiculous. They reject it out of hand as an idle tale. I have always felt so frustrated with these disciples who refuse to believe the women. Here is one more case, I've always thought, of the world dismissing women. What is new? I have had no space for them. But this year, something else stirred in me. I slowed down and I was surprised to find myself wondering if maybe they are being courageous as well in their own way. Courageous to say out loud that, honestly, their hearts aren't there yet. That even as they also remember what Jesus had taught, they aren't ready to believe that it's true. As I sat with them this week, I realized there was love that was welling up within me for these skeptics. Because their questions, their doubt, their searching, and their wrestling, all of this is holy. It's human, and it's natural, and it's good. And this year, I realized that I am grateful that we have the example from these people closest to Jesus that it can be hard to believe the good news. Maybe this is always the case for some of us, and I think it can be especially true when division has risen to a fever pitch, when we're not sure what the next day will bring. It's hard to know how to help a hurting world. It's hard to believe that goodness is coming. It's hard to have faith that God is still making all things new even now. But here's the thing about the disciples' supposed disbelief. If we look at the original Greek, the word here doesn't mean they're disputing something. It's not about trying to disprove anything. Instead, the word is better translated as a lack of trust or a faltering confidence. It makes me think of times when I have gingerly tried to step out on a frozen lake, but then felt the ice bend just a little bit under my weight, or maybe I heard it begin to creak. And so, of course, I retreated, not trusting that it could hold me, not confident that I could walk all the way across it. And friends, imagine the scene. Try to feel in your hearts what these disciples are experiencing. They are as sad as they are terrified. Their friend is gone, and the authorities are searching for them now. No wonder they don't trust that this strange snippet of good news could hold all the weight of what has happened in the last few days. And I wonder what this wrestling looks like for you. I wonder where the questions grow heavy. I wonder when it feels a little too risky to trust in this goodness. For me, the struggle is not that I don't believe in God, but that I often forget to believe in God. Or what I really mean is that, like in that deeper Greek sense of the word, I forget to trust in God. I try to go it alone. I think I can probably muscle through by myself. I get confused about asking for help. I forget to rely on God. And because of this, I have been so grateful when the people around me remind me what is true, and call me back to the path, and show me how we do this thing we call faith together. I'm thinking of a particular episode a few years ago. Having made it through the wilds of ministry during COVID, I was pretty weary, but I didn't realize just how worn out I was. That fall, a big group of us went up to the Bishop's Ranch, a retreat center in Sonoma County, for our annual women's retreat. It's one of my favorite places, but this weekend it was gray, and it was cold, and it rained, and I was pretty glum about our horrible luck. Usually, when I'm out in the natural world, I'm constantly taking photos, delighting in the beauty, sending new wildflowers to a dear friend to help identify them. Just taking it all in. But not this weekend. This weekend, it was pathetic and wet, and nothing was blooming. And I came home with maybe 3 or 4 photos. This maybe could have been a red flag for me. If I'm not finding beauty, there is a pretty good chance that I'm not finding God either. And then, a couple days later, Sheila, a member of this church and one of the other women on the retreat, she posted photos from her weekend, from our weekend. There were dozens. Dozens. There were roses covered in raindrops. There were blooms. I am certain that I must have walked right past, but somehow did not see. A perfect solitary red leaf on a stark branch, a wild sky. We had been at the ranch together, but I had been stuck, flagging under the weight of trying to go it alone. And I had missed pretty much all of it. I needed her witness. I needed Sheila to remind me how much goodness was present, how God was renewing life all around us, even in the gray, especially in the rain. Friends, the good news of Easter is not just that Jesus is risen, but also that the way forward into faith is not uniform. There are as many ways to encounter the resurrected one as there are people seeking and questioning and wrestling with what it might be to live a life of faith. For the women, the connection comes as they are honoring their grief. The good news finds them there among the tombs, their faces still slick with tears. For Peter, It's his curiosity that pulls him forward. He seems to be every bit as incredulous as the others, and yet there's this question rising up in him, making him run to that empty tomb to see for himself. Honoring his doubt brings him to the resurrection. For the other disciples, trust comes through their hands when they get to touch Christ's wounds. And there will be more who meet Jesus along a dusty dirt road as they hightail it out of Jerusalem, but do not recognize him. And then as they begin to debate scripture with him, their hearts are set on fire. And when they break bread with him that night, they finally see him for who he is. For still others, faith will come gradually, over years, through the wonder and challenge of living in Christian community. The story keeps unfolding in the days and weeks to come. And it keeps on going, not just as the dust settles on that first Easter, but it keeps unfolding now, all these years later. If your faith is rock solid, fantastic. You get to accompany people who are seeking and wondering and wrestling, which I believe is one of the greatest honors any of us will ever have. But if you don't have it all figured out today, you are in very good company. Whatever questions and doubts you bring, know that they are good and holy. And it's appropriate, too. Easter is not the end of the story. In so many ways, it is the beginning of the good news, the wide-eyed whisper of grace that is yet to come. For our part, we get to pick up the generous words from those shining messengers, the reminder of all that Jesus has taught us, together with the promise that he has risen and gone out ahead of us. We get to pick up these gifts and this Easter promise and hold them close. We get to tell each other about this goodness and wonder at how we might trust these words of resurrection in our own lives.